the owl hidden in the branches. Even the yellow glow of its searching eyes did not penetrate the darkness. The man was busy. He lay full length, dressed in black clothing. His face and hands were covered in black soot so that he blended with his surroundings. The owl prepared for flight as the man pushed and pulled at the dead brushwood and branches lying around, and arranged them in a screen in front of him. The man pulled binoculars out of a rucksack and began to polish the lenses with a handkerchief he took from his pocket. The owl launched itself from the tree and glided silently through the branches, seeking a safer place to hole up during the day. The sun grew brighter as the man parted the branches and examined the view ahead. The fringe of woodland lay at the top of a hill. From it, he could look over rolling countryside, part heathery moor, part green and fertile farmland, and part forest. Small whitewashed farms nestled in protected hollows. The grey stones of a large mansion house dominated the foreground, and in the distance were the buildings of a large town. It was a peaceful scene. Then, breaking the silence, came the low, rumbling sound of a train speeding in the distance. The man craned forward as the roar of the train grew closer. His binoculars closely scrutinized the mansion house. He saw the door open and a woman come out. She got into an estate car parked beside the front door. In the stillness of the summer morning, he heard the car door slam and the engine start. The car disappeared around a bend in the drive. The man took out a notebook and wrote busily in it. Then he settled down in his den of branches and continued his vigil. Now and again he moved uncomfortably, and his face was angry. Gavin could not make up his mind whether to be an ancient Pict or an ancient Roman. Both had lived and fought in the hills where he was going. As the train moved swiftly northwards, he passed the time by sleeping or by examining the luggage he was taking on holiday. He had not wanted to go to Scotland, but had little choice. He remembered the day well when a letter came cancelling the family holiday. His mother had come into the dining room with the bad news. She stood beside the breakfast table for a moment. Then she told him what had happened.
"Gavin, I'm very, very sorry, but we cannot go on holiday to Anglesey as planned," she said. "Daddy has been called away on business, and I must stay at home for part of the time."
"Can't I stay at home too?" Gavin asked.
"Well, Gavin, I think you would get fed up."
Then his mother paused.
"But I have had an idea. I have phoned Aunt Elspeth and Uncle Fergus in Scotland and asked if you could have a holiday with them. They live in a wonderful old house beside hills. You could camp and climb and have plenty of fun. What do you think?"
Gavin considered this for a moment. At Anglesey, they were going to stay in a cottage and swim and play in an old boat Daddy had bought. Scotland seemed rather tame. But he decided he might as well go.
"Why don't you write to Aunt Elspeth? She loves getting cards and letters. Say you would like to come and ask her all about it," suggested his mother.
So Gavin sent a letter. It was short. He hoped Aunt Elspeth was well, said he was looking forward to coming, and what luggage should he bring. Aunt Elspeth's reply surprised him. It was a very long letter. Gavin had never had such a long letter before. It covered 4 pages of notepaper and contained lots of exciting information. Gavin took the letter up to his bedroom, sprawled on his bed, and read what Aunt Elspeth had to say. She wrote,
"You like it here. There's no one in the house but Uncle Fergus and myself. He's writing a book, so you won't see much of him. You can stay in the spare room in the tower. It is right at the top and looks over the woods."